Good afternoon, everybody. It is Thursday afternoon, and it is now time for Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Hey, Fetch.
Quiet. Go ahead. She's asking a question. Don't be rude.
Hey, Fetch, did that woman really say you have garnets of steel and a mind like a freaking laser?
Mary, you can't be asking questions like that. This is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Why not? Aren't we broadcasting from the Middle East?
Well, yeah, but we might be seen as being politically incorrect.
You know, the problem is everybody dumps people when there's a sign of political incorrectness.
Fetchan, you're always politically correct.
Heck, thanks. Does that mean we can talk about dumping the Israelis tomorrow?
Oh, I'm sure you will probably say quite a bit more than that. And now coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, this is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time with your host, The Fetch.
All right. Thank you very much for that, Mary. From Los... What was that? From Los Baños in the city... Well, actually, not in the Republic of the Philippines. This is The Fetch, and you are live Inside the Eye. Today's actually Inside the Eye, and this is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time, I guess I should say. Let's see here. Today's date is Thursday, January the 17th, 2020, and a good Thursday afternoon to early evening to all of you listening in the United States and Canada, and a good late evening to early Friday morning to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones, and of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets, may all be well with you and yours. Of course, it's early Friday morning now here in the Philippines. It's just after a little after 7 in the morning. The current temperature is sitting at 78 degrees under overcast skies after a low of 75 degrees this evening. Funny thing, yesterday, it was actually very cool in the morning here. I was quite comfortable, almost to the point of needing a blanket in the morning, which is not quite so often the case here. Normally, you just kind of sleep. It's just too warm for me. Normally 75 is about as low as it gets. But yesterday, it just, for whatever reason, seemed quite comfortable. Anyways, today we're going to be going up to a high of 87 degrees with some scattered showers and thunderstorms expected to come through the area. And that's kind of nice because I haven't seen any rain now for about 3 to 4 days. And I got used to it. I kind of like the rain, you know. And in Riyadh, you see nothing. You just see a little bit. Now, I'm going to be heading back to Riyadh, everybody, this coming weekend. So we should be back in Riyadh doing our normal schedule starting next Thursday. So for those of you who like the Riyadh edition of Inside the Eye Live and Inside the Eye Live Primetime, that's going to be returning next week. They feel almost like different shows, you know, when you start 7 o'clock in the morning. I was up early, obviously, 5 o'clock this morning. Got some nice, because it's my last really day here, I got a nice breakfast. I had some good bacon. Well, actually, it wasn't good. It was like the last of my good bacon. But anyways, had some nice bacon and egg sandwich. Not a sandwich, just bacon and egg breakfast, I guess you could say, and a piece of bread. And then walked on over to the office here and got set up, and a little bit late getting set up, just kind of discombobulated in the morning and just getting all the electrical cords all properly set up. But we're here. We are ready to rock and roll for 2 hours. I don't know if we're going to rock, and I'm not even sure we're going to roll, but we're going to get through. Maybe we'll muddle through 2 hours of Inside the Eye Live Prime Time. I'm going to make my way, everybody, over to the chat room now because I just want to check in. So InsideTheEyeLive.com is the location you can interact with the show. InsideTheEyeLive.com/live_chat, or just go to InsideTheEyeLive.com and click on the live chat button. And it is loading now. Usually loads here, and that's indeed the case. So guys, I see you there. Blau Ocean Sundown. Fritz, sundown here. Freezing rain moving in tomorrow. Good luck with that. Mer Bailey Windmiller, that's who I see. So guys, good morning. And it looks like everything is okay there. Blauosch says sun up here, nice temp. So wherever you're at, hopefully the weather's treating you well. You know, I got a lot, not a lot. I don't want to exaggerate too much, but I did get a couple, probably few is a better word, emails from listeners out there and kind of like friends who've come by to see me now. And asking, how are you doing, Fetch? We heard about the big volcanic eruption in the Philippines. And I'll tell you what, I was out and about on Monday, and I was just looking at some property, going for a walk, looking at some property in the rental area, just seeing if, you know, maybe build some rentals type of thing, right? And so I was out, and I saw this plume of smoke off in the distance. You can hear this rumbling sound, you know, really like a booming rumbling sound. And I said to everybody there, I said, hey, that looks like a volcanic eruption, man. That's not a cloud. I said, did we just have a volcano go off today? And they said, yes, actually, yes, we did. And so I'm like, wow, okay, that's kind of cool. So I got a nice view of the plume of smoke coming up in the sky. And yeah, I saw that, guys. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, good morning. And I sound great. That's a great thing. Thank you so much for that, because I do like to know what's happening. Salmon Arm up in Canada, they say you've got a lot of snow, so good luck for that. I missed the snow. You know, it snowed in the northern part of Saudi Arabia this past week. Heavy snows, actually. Snows up in Jordan, Amman, Jordan. They had some pretty heavy snow also within the past 10 days. So I'm missing, quite frankly, all of the snow. I do miss the snow. I miss the cold quite a bit. I'm still a northern European type of guy, even though I've lived all my life in Southern California. You know, we still have that European thing about us. At least for me, I love the snow. I like the cold. I like the seasons. And every place you go on Earth has its seasons. You just got to kind of pay attention to the seasons. But anyways, I miss the snow, guys. Anyways, we're talking about the Taal, T-A-A-L. That's right, the Taal volcanic eruption we had here on Monday. So basically where I was at, I could actually see the plumes coming up over the Makiling Mountain. And Makiling kind of protects the Los Baños area from typhoons and pretty much everything else, including the plume. Like when that plume went up, it didn't really go over the mountain per se. It went off to the western side of the island up towards Manila Airport. Some beautiful pictures were released, quite frankly, from pilots coming out of Manila before they shut down the airport on Monday. It was shut down for about 24 hours because of ash that had eventually made its way up to the, what do you call it, up to the runway. And so that was, I'm like, well, man, maybe I'll be stranded here. That's not a great thing. But it was shut down for about 24 hours. We did have, by Tuesday, quite a lot of the, I don't want to exaggerate here, but we did have a small covering of volcanic ash where I live. And so it necessitated you going out in some type of protected breathing mode. So I had basically a face mask with some tissue. It wasn't too bad where I was at, by the way, but we did have it. So that stayed for about a day to a day and a half. And then what you had to do was wash everything down, because the ash is actually kind of heavy. So we had to wash everything down, literally, just to get rid of all the glass. What happens is volcanic eruptions actually have tiny microscopic shards of glass. Because, you know, it's basically molten rock. It kind of like flashes everything and it causes some of the silica to turn into glass. So you got to be really, really careful if you breathe the volcanic ash. Now, we did have some people that are within our network here that were down in the Batangas area. And that's where Emily was actually before she came to pick me up at the airport. That was hit pretty heavily with the ash. There were some earthquakes which destroyed some houses, so we had to have people move because of housing problems. But overall, it worked out okay for me. It wasn't such a big deal. I know where I'm at type of thing. And so it's not such a big deal. Even in a worst case scenario, a major, major, major eruption, the area where I am at would have been protected. You know, the Philippine volcanic, I don't know what they're technically called, Philippine volcanic, they got a technical term for them, obviously. But they have department, it comes from their Department of Science and Technology. It's a volcanic watchdog type of thing, government watchdog. I don't see the name of them, actually. It's kind of not, it's a Philippine Star article I'm reading from. But, you know, you could have, in a worst case volcanic eruption from something like this type of volcano, you can have 60 mile per hour horizontal gas spurts. In other words, it can go out, and it can go out a good 14 kilometers, 14 kilometer radius. You got to be very, very careful. Obviously, if you're in these blast zones, now I'm not in the blast zone. Now, the Batangas area and some of these other places certainly are, but it's kind of a cool place. You know, you look at it, it's a volcano sitting in the middle of a lake. Of course, that's a volcanic crafted lake there. So you got a nice lake there. There's lots of restaurants, believe it or not, surrounding this area along the lake, which are essentially viewing points. So if you can imagine, if you were there just taking lunch and all of a sudden this thing blows, you had some lava coming down the mountain. As they say, it's pretty awesome, pretty beautiful, but it's kind of dangerous. So nonetheless, everything for me is fine, everybody. It was not such a big deal. What can I say? It was just kind of cool. I did get to see it. I saw the plume. It added a little bit of excitement to the week for a couple days. It did add a little bit of inconvenience because of all the dust. It killed business, by the way. There was basically no business for a day and a half because of the dust. Government shut down most of their facilities. Banks were closed on Tuesday. So it really made for a very, very slow week in business, simply because people have been kind of spending money trying to repair things and help family down in the blast zone. So it's been an interesting time here, needless to say, the past week. Now, as for me, I'm looking forward to getting out of here. I've had a great time, quite frankly. I have really enjoyed my stay again. We got the new house set up. I'm very happy with what we've accomplished again. So we put together, as you heard, the salon back in August. It's doing okay now. Not making money per se, guys. We're not getting rich on this thing, but nonetheless, it's at least operating. It's functioning as it should. And then we have the new house set up. So the Philippines now, the move out of Jordan, we are officially declaring over, and we are now officially set up here in the Philippines. And the last thing left, and I'll put that up in the summertime, would be to bring in fiber to operate the show come this coming summer. So for now, I'm working from the office here, where we do have fiber set up, because I just want fiber, obviously, when I arrive here. So, guys, everything's working great. So, anyways, good to be here. Again, it's Thursday morning. You know, looking at some of the geopolitics, you know, I was seeing something about the recent assassination of General Qasem Soleimani. And, of course, he is the Al-Quds. He was the former Al-Quds commander, at least if we are to believe what the mainstream media sells us. They got to take it for what it is nowadays. But I was seeing something that Secretary of Defense Esper, he was being asked about, you know, Trump said, oh, well, you know, we took him out because there was imminent threat to Americans. He was going to kill Americans. And, you know, to most Americans out there, that plays well, because to me, most Americans are exceedingly, exceedingly naive as to what really is going on in the global arena. Now, I suspect that most of you who listen to this show are not quite as naive as the general population of the United States and perhaps even other Western nations. But when you hear somebody like a Donald Trump say, hey, you know, he was going to be killing people, I'm like, dude, give me a break, man. Do you have actual proof of this? Of course he does. And then we learned like a day and a half later that Secretary of Defense Esper, in speaking to Congress, is like saying, no, we had no real intel that saying this was going to go on. So it's like, you know, you've got your Secretary of Defense not even playing by the same script that Trump is on. And you know what? Trump looks like a complete idiot, quite frankly. And I know a day and a half or so, 3 days ago, there was another rocket attack on the Al-Balad base. It is Friday morning, Frank. Frank's chiming in here privately. It is Friday morning where I am. Again, it's 7:16 in the morning, and this is going to be my last day here. Tomorrow is getaway day. And so, yes, it's early. I don't normally get myself up at 5 o'clock in the morning. You know, I don't normally do that. But, hey, we got a show to run, so we're here. But anyways, it was really quite an astounding revelation this week when you listen to how narratives are often portrayed in the media. You know, much of politics is scripted. And so when I heard that Secretary of Defense Esper actually did not know of anything that, you know, showed anything that Salkud's guy, Mr. Soleimani, was going to be doing anything, it's like, you know, really, unfortunately, and it's really unfortunate, everybody, the United States government is basically run by a Jewish mafia. And I don't know any other way to describe it. This is a Jewish organized crime syndicate. And it doesn't play by normal standard rules out there that you might expect from civilized people. And so it's quite disappointing, quite frankly. As an expatriate, as somebody who does his best to represent you, the American people, wherever I go, it's very, very disappointing to know that sometimes I, in order to support the American people and the United States, I'm also supporting a really criminal Jewish, really a Jewish criminal syndicate. I don't know any other way how to describe the Trump administration. You know, Trump, let's be honest, again, we don't want to take away from what he's done so far for the American worker. A lot of people are telling me, Fetch, you know, what's happening here in the States is real. There are areas where the people are doing very, very well now. And there, of course, there are areas where they're not, but they're doing very, very well, and people will vote their pocketbook. So Trump, in that regard, has done a great job. But when it comes to international geopolitics type of stuff, Trump has been a complete and utter failure for the American people. All he's done is gone on and on and talked about how, I don't even know what he's gone on to talk about. He just like seems kind of stupid to me, quite frankly. What I've got here is I've got a clip from Esper.
By Mahdi earlier today, in which he sort of laid out what he said was a signed letter that the Iraqis got. Those were his words. And he suggested that another letter should be sent. What have you done and are you continuing to do to clear up what you said yesterday was a mistake?
Our policy has not changed. We are not leaving Iraq. And a draft unsigned letter does not constitute a policy change. And there is no signed letter, to the best of my knowledge. I've asked the question. So there may be people trying to create confusion, but we should focus on this much. What I've said a few times now, our policy has not changed. We are in Iraq, and we are there to support Iraqi forces and the Iraqi government become a strong, independent, and prosperous country.
There seems to be a disconnect from what the Prime Minister is telling Ambassador Tuller and other and heads of state from Europe about implementing this resolution through Iraqi parliament and what the Pentagon says has been communicated or hasn't been communicated.
Yeah, I think that's a great question for the Iraqi prime minister.
Does that mean that you are not taking his communication about the implementation of that parliamentary resolution on its face in terms of what he's actually saying?
To the best of my knowledge, I haven't received any communication from him or the Iraqi government about the legislation or about an order or a request to withdraw U.S. forces.
Mr. Secretary, can you please explain to us how the killing of one of Iran's top generals would contribute to the case of de-escalation? You're asking Iran to de-escalate now. Would the U.S. Respond in such a manner if one of your top generals was killed in a third country?
Well, let's take a look at history. Soleimani was a terrorist leader of a U.S.-designated foreign terrorist organization.
Now, let's be clear about what Mr. Esper said there. That is purely a position brought to us by a Jewish mafia organization. Again, this guy was the architect of the strategy that defeated the Islamic State, which was essentially a Jewish American CIA creation. So essentially, we have the terrorist organizations, this Jewish criminal syndicate that is running the United States, unilaterally declaring other people, quote unquote, terrorists, ramming it through their with their power of, quote unquote, the power of law, which would be various United Nations resolutions and things of like this nature. And when you break it all down, though, the real terrorist here, the real guy that is the criminal syndicate head, mafia organization style worker here would be this Esper guy. It's hard to see this as anything else from an American perspective.
He's been conducting terrorist activities against us and our coalition partners for over 20 years.
He understands, Mr. Esper, again, here's the thing with Esper. Dude, you're in Iraq illegally, dude. You lied to the American people. You lied to the world. Again, Mr. Esper, nobody's fooled here. You're an idiot. This type of language from these people is so dishonest. What brought the Iraqi the Iraq invasion was pure bullshit fraud from the Jewish people in our country. That's what brought them to Iraq. And these people, everywhere in the world, guys, you have a right to defend yourself. Are you going to sit there as Americans, or especially Americans? Let me talk to just the Americans right now. You know what? You've got all this stuff about the United Nations, United Nations. Are you going to sit there and listen to somebody saying, you know what? The United Nations says you're a terrorist because you live in America. And then you've got the United Nations forces running around America trying to shoot up your towns, destroy everything in view. And are you going to sit back and say, well, I'm the terrorist, so therefore, oh, you can kill me? Because that's basically what Esper is trying to get you to believe here, that somebody can come in, invade your country under false pretenses, basically blow the shit out of your country, literally, guys, kill millions of your people, but you're the terrorist because you're resisting this level of barbarity against you and your people. That's the dishonesty of an Esper here. It honestly, it's dishonest, guys. It's unethical, dishonest, mafia crap from these people. And I can't view it any other way. And this guy's not making a case to change my mind.
He has the blood of hundreds of Americans, soldiers on his hands. And
dude, why were your troops there to begin with? Here's the thing. That is such a bullshit line again from these people. Who put the American troops in harm's way to begin with? Those are the people that have the blood on their hands. That's the people you should be talking to, Mr. Esper. I'm talking about George Bush, Dick Cheney, Paul Wolfowitz, Wormser, the entire neocon cabal is the one behind this. And yet he wants to blame somebody else for defending themselves. What total, stupid, idiotic crap is that? Again, he has hundreds of... Dude, they should not have been there to begin with. The point here is it's absolutely necessary at this stage to get American troops out, because it's clear that you, as our civilian leadership, you have no idea what the hell you're doing. You're basically making stuff up out of your you-know-what. You're basically sounding like you're completely clueless. And as an American republic, we, the American people, at least those of us who are nationalists, understand that the problem is people like Secretary of Defense Esper. The problem is people like President Trump, who doesn't do what he said he would do when he was brought into office. The problem is we have not dealt with the criminal syndicate that sent American troops into Iraq to begin with. Those are the key issues that we should be discussing here, not whether or not some general who is basically paid to do his job is defending himself and his allies from American troops who are basically illegally invading somebody else's country.
Wounded thousands more. And then we could.
He wounded thousands more. How about 9/11, dude? You think us Americans don't understand the problem with the state of Israel in 9/11? Dude, again, these people are so unethical and dishonest, it just freaking boggles my mind. Anyways, I believe we're going into a break. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live, prime time for Thursday, January. The 17th, 18th, 18th, no, 17th, no, 16th. I don't even know what day it is, guys. It's the 16th for you. Sorry about that. Anyways, we'll be back with more right after this. Okay, everybody, welcome back. It's the Fetch Inside the LA Primetime Thursday. Again, I'm just kind of confused with all the dates here because of just the way things are. And it's just the way it is, man. But let me check my calendar. It's the 16th for you, 17th for me. Again, this is my final day here in the Philippines, at least for some time. I'll be heading back to Riyadh this weekend. Tomorrow is a getaway day. Interesting thing about getaway day for me tomorrow, guys, is Emily's sister is arriving on a separate airline that I'm going to be traveling on at right about the same time. So we're actually going to be able to go out there. We're going to take a single car, which she's going to be paying for, which is great because it's like $60 to go back and forth. So she's going to be hiring a car to go pick her up. But since I'm actually leaving literally about the same time she's going to be coming out of the terminal, I need to get to the terminal. So it's like, okay, cool. I get a free ride down to the airport tomorrow. And the sister, maybe she's going to come through. I'll say, oh, nice to meet you. She's not in Riyadh. She's in actually the city of Khobar, which is the eastern part of Saudi Arabia. So she's also coming back from Saudi Arabia for a vacation, a one-month vacation. So it's going to be kind of cool. I'll be basically hanging out. When she comes out, I'll say, okay, nice to meet you. Take care. See ya. And then I'm going to walk into the terminal and hopefully disappear into the skies and land somewhere else. I love when people tell me have a safe trip. I'm like, I'm okay. Not safe trip. Have a safe flight or have a nice flight. Everyone says have a nice flight. I'm like, I don't need a nice flight, guys. I need a nice landing. You know, it's those rough landings that I just don't like, especially the really disastrous landings. Those aren't so good. The flights are usually okay. It's the landings that always have me a little bit I'm not stressed, guys, about flying by any stretch of the imagination. But nonetheless, you guys get what I mean. It's better to have a safe landing than a safe flight. Let's see here. You know the problem with the Philippines? Seriously, the problem with the Philippines is humidity. And so what happens is humidity absolutely plays havoc, or wreaks havoc, I should say, on your electronics devices. So here I am, and I'm trying to, like, do the show, and I've got all this humming and hissing going on inside my headphones here. And the reason why, guys, it's the humidity. I know. It's just the connections are kind of like moist or something, and you're just not getting really good electrical connections. And it just sounds terrible sometimes. Sometimes you get this really like hissing and humming, and I'm like, man, you got to move things around and try to get it to. But anyways, we're going to try to get through this, but it's really very, 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 very annoying. Let's see. It's listener-sponsored, supported radio. It does rely upon your donations to help keep the network alive, up and running. Of course, without your donations, there's no network. And as long as we're using the network, we still urge you to support the network because they do still provide us with the bandwidth to operate and all of that fun stuff. They're kind enough to carry us. Of course, we're carried now on a couple other areas. I know Eurofolk Radio, Freedom, what's it called? People's Patriot Network, Radio Network, something like that. Perhaps a few others. I do know that we're out there on some, some micro FM stations. I know that's going out for sure. I've been told about that. So, guys, if you're doing the micro FM, you want to definitely stay in touch because of changes coming up probably in the month of February to early March. We don't have a date yet, but you're going to want to stay in touch with what is going on out there. So anyways, for now, keep supporting the network, and it's a place where we've been broadcasting now for a lot of years. So, it is what it is. We appreciate all the time we've had, for sure. Let's see. This show is sponsored, of course, by the Graham Hart Show with Breiser, and it's the ITEL Cat Report sponsored by the Graham Hart Show with Breiser. And you can find the Graham Hart Show every Monday from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern at grism.blogspot.com. That's 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern at grism.blogspot.com. It's become, quite frankly, a very well-received show equally, so you want to definitely check that out. I know most of the heavy lifting has been done by Breiser over there, and he's done a heck of a job. He's had greatly improved, so you want to check out the show again, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern on or at grism.blogspot.com. It currently broadcasts over Cornwall Revolution Radio, so do check that out. And again, this week's ITEL Cat Report is kind of fun. What happened was I was walking home 2 days ago from the office here, and we heard this really screaming kitten. And as we walked by, we could see where it was at. It was at this particular very dark corner inside of our neighborhood. So as I was walking by, we could see this kitten, you know, off kind of like moving in the shadows there. And so what we did is we kind of like walked towards the kitten, and the kitten didn't hesitate a second. It walked straight towards us. And so I'm like, oh no, this is not good. So we kind of petted it a little bit and reassured everything's okay. And you could see what happened was somebody literally took the kitten, because it's in very good condition, dropped it at this corner, and then drove off. So somebody probably had a car, drove it to here, this particular location, dumped it, so to speak, and then drove away. And so the kitten's just there screaming. There's nobody around it. Well, this little guy, he decided he liked us. So we walked, and we have to walk from that point. It's probably a good half a mile from that particular point to my residence. And so we walked, and he walked, and we walked, and he walked, and we walked, and he walked. And he would be getting caught up in our feet. He'd be so happy to be walking with us. He would be getting us, basically tripping us up, you know, literally, and sometimes we're almost stepping on him just because he's so happy to be walking with us. Well, he ended up walking all the way back to our apartment, and he has now already been integrated into the household. And surprisingly, I've got 5 kittens. Not a single one of them has a name. But this guy has got such a great personality. He's very friendly, much more friendly, quite frankly, than my 5 kittens from Pressy. And so he's just a cute little guy. He's already started to play with the other kittens after a rough first day. And he's got his name. It's called Dempsey. So Dempsey's the new kitten in the house. The other 5, I still don't have names for, guys. I've just been lazy. They're not very friendly kittens, so I don't really take to them too well because they're just not that friendly. But Dempsey's something. He's just a happy, friendly little critter. And so there you have it. We've got a new cat addition. We're up to 9 cats now. That's too much. However, Pressy essentially has run away. We know where she's run away to. She's been adopted into another household. Ming Ming is a beautiful tabby cat, but she essentially has gone and allowed herself to be adopted into another family. That family has reached out to us, said, boy, your cat is so nice. We feel bad, but your cat, we think it's a great cat. We've already bought food for it, and we're like, it's okay, man. Don't worry. So sometimes Ming Ming comes back to eat. Sometimes Ming Ming doesn't. And so we expect that Ming Ming over time is going to be like my old cat Trixie. She's going to accept this new house and disappear. So for now, we're up to 9. Man, too many. 9 cats, and 5 of those are kittens. We got the 3 adults. Ming Ming. No, 9 kittens. We got 5 kittens from Pressy. 1 Dempsey, who kind of just followed us home 2 days ago. And then, of course, Spiker's doing great. Spiker's a heck of a nice guy. And Pressy's been very stressed lately. I think she's maybe going into heat again. I'm like, honey, please find out how much it's going to cost to get these cats fixed, man. I just don't want to have so many cats around. So there you have it. We're hoping, again, that things settle. We're trying to find homes for the other kittens. We haven't done that yet, but nonetheless, we're working on it. the ITEL Cat Report is, that is the ITEL Cat Report. Again, it's proudly sponsored by the Graham Hart Show with Bryza. So check that out again. Every Monday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern on the Spreaker Radio Network. And now it's time for the Oy Vey Moment. Again, it's sponsored by the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show or the ACH Show. Now we've got to redo this music, I think. But nonetheless,
Oy Vey. Oy Gevalt. It's like another shower.
Oy Vey.
Oy Vey.
Oy Vey, everybody. Oy
Vey. How did it run by you? It's owned by you. Very goddamn angry at some of the Jews.
I thrive on William Tears.
Oy Vey.
Oy Vey, everybody.
Oy Vey.
The Oy Vey Moment is proudly sponsored by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, author of The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored. The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored features a rapturous 144,000 words that is replete with additional articles never before seen in print. And after having its distribution banned by Amazon and Lulu, The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored is now available from Andy himself at andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com. Get your copy today, won't you? Of course, don't forget to listen to Andy's The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, which streams Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock a.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Eurofolk Radio at eurofolkradio.com. To listen, simply visit eurofolkradio.com during showtime and click on the Listen Live link or visit andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com for Andy's free show archives, which comprises one of the most extensive guest lists in the alternative media. And this week's Oy Vey Moment, I think we're going to go to a couple places here to highlight some of the continuing efforts by the Jewish political leadership and Jewish groups in general and Jewish society, perhaps, to silence all of our free speech, to essentially impose their sick, twisted worldview onto the rest of us. You know, when you look at Jewish culture, Jewish actions, Jewish behavior, it's very hard to see this culture as anything other than a spoiled, rabidly misbehaved child. And I think that might be a good allegory, because if you ever go to a supermarket and you see a child who wants candy and mom says no, and the kid just goes into an absolute rage of idiocy, screaming and yelling about how, no, we want this candy. And then the mother finally acquiesces and gives the candy. Well, that's Jewish culture. You know, nobody's ever taken time to just spank them upside the head and say, look, you can't have your candy, man. Shut up. We got to get out of the store. You're making a complete jackass out of yourself and you're embarrassing not just yourself, but me. Let's go. Let's get out of here type of thing. And that's kind of like what Jewish society is really all about. You know, they want to complain about every little stupid nuance that they see as a slight, and then they want everybody to pay for the fact that they feel they were slighted, never understanding that, you know what? This is basically an arrogance on the behalf of the Jewish people that absolutely becomes unconscionable and it becomes unacceptable. And there's something out there. Well, first let me go to, start this one. It's called the Stop the Story campaign. And again, we have to understand that the only main culture in our midst who are seeking to destroy our freedoms, to destroy our rights, to destroy our constitution is the Jewish community. We have to be very clear on that. The one group that sought for the invasion of Iraq, per se, were Jews. Nobody else wanted this war. Only Jews wanted the Iraq war. And now you've got, like, as we were discussing in the first half hour, we've got a criminal syndicate mafia running our military, just go out and killing anybody under idiotic pretenses. Like, oh, he has the death of hundreds. Dude, you know what? I swear, dude, Mr. Esper, if this Al-Quds guy, Soleimani, has the death of hundreds of American soldiers, why didn't you? Seriously, you little clown. Why didn't you take one of your drones and you drone Dick Cheney? How many deaths does he have? Drone Dick Cheney. Drone Paul Wolfowitz. Okay? Drone Netanyahu. Don't give us this crap, man. You sound like a complete idiotic buffoon, and the bad part is you actually run our military. Now, moving into lesser issues. There's something out there, again, and this is the way Jews look at this. Jews hate you. You don't understand. A lot of you don't get that Jews as a culture hate the American people. You will not find any love for the American people in Israel. All of these people think that, oh, the Jews are the greatest thing since sliced cheese, but don't ever put it on a hamburger because that becomes unkosher. You're kidding yourselves, man. You're just kidding yourselves. Everything within the Jewish mindset is hate, 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 hate. It's pathetic. They project their hatred onto us, and then they want to then smash us in the mouth because of their hatred of us. And we haven't done anything yet. We're just minding our own business. Literally, we're minding our own business. Now, there is something called in the UK, it's Vanessa Kirby. Let me try to, it doesn't make sense. This is written in the Jerusalem Post. I can actually see it. But nonetheless, here's the thing. It starts off just this week. It's written by a Jeremy Sharon in the Jerusalem Post. And it says, Bar Rafaeli, whoever that is, who cares? Dr. Ruth, who cares? The Crown's Vanessa Kirby. Okay, why is the Crown? I'm going to assume that's the UK. And President Reuven Rivlin, who is, of course, president of the racist, bigoted state of Israel. They are helping spread the message against global resurgence of, get this. This is how they view it, these pathetic, disgusting people. They called it Jew hatred. Go screw yourselves, you racist, insane, hate-filled, bigoted people of the Jewish community. Seriously, how dare you use this language in our faces? Seriously, with all the problems you jackasses have been causing us for the last 100 years, with all the clear efforts, with your efforts to take away our rights to own and possess weapons, it's all Jewish, man. It's your impeachment of an elected president. Not that we like the guy for his foreign policy, but it's all Jewish, guys. Your ability or your wish to destroy free speech in our own countries, it's all Jewish, guys. Who are you kidding, man? Seriously, who are you guys kidding at this stage? It's everywhere. And here's something now they call, get this, guys. It's called Stop This Story Campaign. The fight against, here it is, the fight against the resurgence. No, there's always been a vile disgust for people who are dishonest, okay? And just because you Jews are dishonest doesn't make it anti-Semitism. It means you're just dishonest. But hey, it says here, the fight against the resurgence of anti-Semitism is being taken to social media in an effort to broaden awareness of the problem and create a modern and relevant dialogue about this ancient scourge. Okay, the fact that they use the term scourge shows you that the Jewish people are scumbags, okay? How dare you use this term to talk about us? Seriously, enough is enough. What's a scourge is Jewish society then, dudes. Seriously, how dare you call us and our ability or our right to go and seek after our own political discourse free of your scourge? Seriously, how dare you people use this language anymore? So they have something called, and they call it the Stop This Story campaign. It's initiated by the World Jewish Congress. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The European Jewish Congress. And it secured the support of global celebrities and influencers, which is what? Bought and paid for whores of the Jewish community, and we don't care about these people. So who cares? And it says here, oh, including Israeli supermodel Bar Rafaeli. Well, we should trash this woman and just get her out of our society. She should be boycotted into oblivion. How dare this racist scumbag come into our societies and try to tell us what we can and can't think, what we can and can't say in our own countries? There's also an actress. Oh, Vanessa Kirby of the hit Netflix show, The Crown. Oh, that's what it is. Okay. In other words, it's a stupid Jewish television show, you morons. And then you got a sex therapist, Dr. Ruth. Oh, give us a break. How about you rehash some old tires on top of it? And then, oh, a Holocaust survivor on top of that. Yeah, she wasn't a Holocaust survivor, obviously, you morons. She survived a work camp. You get it? But again, everything about this story is a lie. It's a lie. Are you a scourge? Okay, let me ask every single one of you listening right now. Are you a scourge? Really? Do you see yourself as a scourge? Are you disgusted that Jews call you and consider you a scourge? You should be. Why aren't you if you're not? Why aren't you utterly disgusted with this language from the Jewish people? Jews want to police your language every single day, and they throw garbage like this in your face. They talk about, quote unquote, Jew hatred all the time. Are you out of your mind? You don't see that as a complete slap upside your face? Why don't you just walk up to the synagogue and say, hey, guys, you know what? I'm so sorry. I think you guys are just slap me in the face because I want to be embarrassed in front of everybody. Please, Mr. Rabbi, slap me upside the face because I don't kiss your butt enough, you know? Now, the campaign is currently being conducted on Instagram. So they're trying to shut down Instagram, which is what? Jewish Facebook, guys. What do you think, you stupid? Seriously, you Jewish people think we're stupid? It's a Jewish organization. YouTube, run by a Jew. Okay, other platforms, probably all run by Jews. Now, the personalities involved in the project have created images of themselves holding up their hands, bearing the words, stop this story. In other words, let us Jews censor you so you can't talk anymore. Censor this story. Why don't you just say the truth, Jews? Seriously. We get so tired of your little nuanced garbage. Just say the truth. We Jews want to censor your world. We Jews want to control what you think. We Jews want to say what you can say. Why don't you just come out and just say for what it is, man? Because that's what Jews are telling you. Stop this story. It's nothing but censor you, silence you, keep you from speaking, and that's how it should be viewed. These people should be viewed as enemies of the West, 100% enemies of the West. Now, I can't think of a more engaging thing I would want to look at, but there's a time-lapse video project featuring Dr. Ruth Westheimer, 91. I mean, I couldn't stand her when she was actually of age. You know what I mean? She's your atypical, ugly as you know what Jewish person, okay? And she's going to tell us about how to have good sex in the world, okay? And here's this butt ugly woman of the Jewish community, okay? Maybe I'm being too crass, too clear in my description of her. But the video highlights the never-ending story of Jews complaining. Isn't that when you hear a Jew say anti-Semitism? Isn't basically the spoiled brat Jew who doesn't know how to shut up in the supermarket? Now, it goes on to say, using these technologies, including time-lapse, the endless story of anti-Semitism from the 1930s to the year 2020 will show the world that anti-Semitism did not end with the bullshit Holocaust, okay, and is gaining steam again to frightening levels. Well, you know what, Mr. EJC people out there, we can only hope it's getting to frightening levels, because what's frightening now is the way in which you Jews shut down discourse. That's what's frightening. What's frightening now is the way in which you Jews are going after every single right we have within our constitutional protections. That's what's frightening. What's frightening now is the way you Jews go back and you have your spies digging into everything from 47 years ago and using that to destroy careers today. That's what's frightening. Jews don't need to lecture us about what's frightening anymore. We need to be lecturing ourselves about how frightening Jewish people have become to our countries. That's what we need to talk about. We need to lecture and talk about the frightening nature of Jewish society as it affects our world today. We have everybody from the top mafiosa up there in the White House unilaterally killing people with drones under stupidest you-know-what pretenses. He has the death of Americans on his hands. Well, who put them there, you freaking moron? And it doesn't end there, guys. It just goes on and on and on. Now, the campaign follows several, what they say, violent incidents and acts of anti-Semitism. They call it terrorism. Of course, if you say anything against Jews, I swear, these people are evil, man. The way you read their stuff, they're evil. There's no other way to describe this type of language. This is pure evil coming from and oozing from the Jewish society, Jewish community. Seriously. They will take false flag after false flag and then just play these over and over again as if they actually happened. And then you're supposed to give up your entire rights, your entire world for Jews based on falsehoods. Have you figured that out yet? The Jewish world wants you to give everything that you hold of value and throw it in the trash based on falsehoods. What an evil society this has become. It's The Fetch, everybody. Inside the Eye Live Primetime. Back with more right after this. All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's The Fetch, Inside the Eye Live Primetime. Not sure if you're still there, but if we are, we're going to go straight out to the telephone lines. From the 210 area code, hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live. I'm doing great. Is this, I don't have a name. Bruce in Texas. Hi, Bruce. Welcome. Hold on. Yeah, I'm sorry, your name again?
Bruce in Texas.
Bruce. Okay, this is Bruce in Texas. You were on mute, but it's okay. You're back. Don't worry, Bruce. I had you off for a reason, but it's okay. Continue on. You're live now. Don't worry. You're live.
Great. Yeah. This is on Yahoo News, and it was reported by the Wall Street Journal. Now, isn't this the definition of foreign interference in our democracy, or even blackmail? Trump reportedly told associates he killed Soleimani under pressure. President Trump said he killed Iran's important military leader last week in part to appease Republican senators who will play a crucial role in the Senate impeachment trial, the Wall Street Journal reported on Thursday.
Wow.
Now, I have a good idea about at least two of these quote-unquote senators that are unnamed. One is Cruz. And the other one is Graham. What do you think?
Yeah, I would put that up there. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So he was arm twisted because, you know, he says that he wants to patch things up, and then he turns around and he throws sanctions or
whatever. This stage,
I'll
be honest, Bruce. At this stage, I don't care if they impeach him, because as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to his foreign policy and what he's been doing. These are abuses of power equally. You just can't go out there and execute a commander of somebody else's military that you're not at war with under any pretenses. I don't care what Esper wants to spew. It doesn't matter. I think as far as I'm concerned, he has abused his power. It's okay for not the reasons the Democrats say, but yeah, let's impeach him. Let's go ahead and do something else. Let's bring Pence in. Let's just burn the place down.
Right.
I'm like that, man. Let's burn it down.
It's deeper than Trump, though. I mean,
of course it is.
If he's being arm twisted, you know, he's in a vulnerable position. They're gonna, that his impeachment was gonna get moved to the Senate, and he has these Republican senators. And basically, what I'm reading in here, they told him, "Look, if you want us to help you, you're gonna have to kill this guy that Israel wants dead." Do you think I'm leaping to conclusions?
No, I don't think so at all. No. I don't think so at all, because we all know that the Jewish political organizations control the United States. So whatever is behind this targeted assassination is coming from somewhere within the Jewish community.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people don't know this, but immediately after 9/11, Iran offered to help the United States during its invasion of Afghanistan.
Soleimani, you're right. Soleimani himself offered the United States intel, and they politely refused because obviously they didn't want the intel. They wanted to just do whatever. They weren't interested in
the
truth.
They didn't want the truth.
That's correct.
I remember on the news broadcast after during the early months or weeks of the Afghan war, U.S. cargo planes were landing on a remote Iranian airstrip bordering Afghanistan.
Really? I didn't hear that one.
Yeah. I saw that.
Were the Iranians allowing that at the time? Was Iran allowing that?
Allowed U.S. aircraft to land. It was basically a remote airstrip close to Afghanistan.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
And now they turn around and then this court this U.S. This federal court, you know, had a trial, a civil judgment against Iran for being responsible for 9/11. You know,
these are so absurd. Anyhow. Yeah, those are absurd. I hear you.
Keep doing what you're doing there.
Thank you. Did you hear about it?
Thank you for letting me on the air.
All right, thanks. That's Bruce in Texas, everybody. Telephone lines, again, if you're not familiar, are open 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. Han, just to fill you in the chat room there, I've gotten my cup of coffee. And quite frankly, after that rant to close out the first hour, I needed it because my throat was a little dry. You know, it's early. I'm not warmed up. The voice isn't warm yet. We're going to take this call equally. Hi, Frank in North Carolina. Welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Hey, Dennis. That was a good caller.
Yeah, Bruce
Very
is good.
Good information. How's I can't recall off? If I ever even remember that about Iran.
I'll tell you what, that's news for me. I didn't know we were using a remote strip. I did know about the Soleimani issue, the intel issue. The Iranian government actually offered the United States intel for Afghanistan because they had quite a lot of intel in Afghanistan. They border, you know. And so Soleimani was one of the prime guys that I was actually offered to give the intel as far as the briefing to the United States. They said, no, we're not interested.
I agree with you, though. Just let it burn. Just let it go ahead and burn. I tell you, I don't know. We got to deal with it. We just got to deal with the situation. And what you're talking about in the first hour with the economy. You know, people contact you and they say, "Hey, look, you know, Fetch, you know, the economy really is good. Not for everybody, but it's good for a lot of people." But you know, you look at the stock market, it's at an all-time high, right? I think it was at 29,300 something today.
Yeah.
It looks like it might hit 30,000. And here's the thing, though. I keep hearing from multiple sources that I don't think they would say this if it wasn't true. You know, these are commentary, you know, people that I mean, they're not Federal Reserve people, but they're saying that the Federal Reserve, and I heard Gerald Celente in the past month or two saying that the Federal Reserve is literally pumping hundreds of billions, yeah. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars into the market. So, you know, it's interesting to me, though, and what I don't ever hear anybody say is, isn't it interesting how the Jew-controlled media that hates Trump so much is willing to give him credit for that, or at least not call it out for being a fraud and being fabricated and artificial. Mm-hmm. they let him off the hook on that. Isn't that interesting?
Well, it is interesting. And when I get back to Riyadh, I'm going to be looking into this story more, and we'll probably do a segment or two on it, and maybe even try to get a guest to complement what I'm going to try to do, because you bring up a really good point that nobody really is discussing. And you know, it's some 80 billion some odd dollars per month that the Fed is pumping into the system now. And nobody knows where that money's going. It's basically they're giving it to their friends. We don't know which bankers are getting it. We don't know how it's getting funneled. So somebody's getting this money, Frank. And we don't even know who, because nobody knows. It's actually a secret. And imagine Jews say, "Oh, we're so successful. If you're so successful, why does the Fed have to pump all this money in to begin with? Because actually, you're not successful. That's why." And then they they have all this debt, and then they get written off, and they get free money from the taxpayer. The banking system, as you know, Frank, in America is just so parasitic. There's no controls over it whatsoever. And they are just ripping the American people off left and right. And this is one of the biggest problems we have in the States. You know.
Well, yeah.
Perhaps Frank, the ADL doesn't
check that out.
Yeah, perhaps the ADL doesn't have $200 million to suppress us if the Fed's not pumping all that money into the system. See what I mean? Because it makes sense.
Yeah, you gave out some information for Eurofolk Radio earlier. Do you have that listen line number?
Technically, we're not supposed to be promoting other stations, but, okay. You know, I mean, it's not our station per se. But, you know, yeah, they do, guys. You can check, listen, you can go to Eurofolk Radio, check it out. We're broadcasting, simulcasting there. They do have a listen line number there. We are in touch with the people that handle their system there. And it's very good. They do a good thing. It's the problem is that this is a Jewish-controlled listen line number. So we kind of like stay away from it from our point of view. But it's basically Jewish-owned and operated, that listen line.
I guess it's like a fly trap, right? They're collecting all of our data, all of the people that are listening.
I'm not sure about that. I think it's just a business, but perhaps. You never know. You know what I mean? I
well,
don't know.
Anyway, that's how I stay in touch with everything that's going on. You know, I haven't been on the internet hardly very much at all since like 2011 or so. But right. I listen, you know, everywhere I go rather than, you know, watch TV or listen to regular radio or watch sports. I've always got my phone on speakerphone, and I listen to a lot of different shows. I'm listening to a lot less actually, but anyway, Frederick C. Blackburn was great last night. I was listening to that on Eurofolk on my phone. So anyway, I'll get out of the way.
Okay, cool. Thanks so much, Frank. That's Frank in North Carolina. Everybody, again, if you'd like to phone in, telephone lines are open. 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. Quite big developments coming out of Syria, and I'll be getting back into the Middle East again this coming weekend. But you have a situation now, and we talked about this just a couple weeks ago. The final, let's just say, foreign militia CIA area controlled in Syria, I guess I should say, is up in Idlib. And so far we've had something like 350,000 people now over the past month have tried to get out of Idlib as the Syrian government seeks to retake that area. Now, UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, also known as OCHA, said in its latest situation report yesterday they said today that the humanitarian situation continues to deteriorate as a result of escalating hostilities. Now, David Swanson, he's an Amman-based UN regional spokesperson for Syria, also voiced concern over the latest displacement. Quoting here, this latest wave of displacement compounds an already dire humanitarian situation on the ground in Idlib. Now, according to the United Nations, nearly 3 million people are trapped in militant-held populated parts of Idlib province. And Syria now has opened 3 humanitarian corridors for civilians from these areas to get out and then into the Aleppo area. Now, on August the 5th, the Syrian army announced the start of an offensive against these foreign-sponsored militants in Idlib after they failed to honor a ceasefire brokered by Russia and Turkey. And they continue to this day to continue. That's a terrible way to talk, huh? They continue to target civilian neighborhoods. Now, under what was called the Sochi Agreement, all militants in the demilitarized zone that surrounds Idlib and also parts of the provinces of Aleppo and Hama were supposed to pull out heavy arms by the 17th of October. That would be last year. And various Takfiri groups had to withdraw 2 days earlier. Now, the Aleppo province is situated again next to Idlib, and it is Syrian government troops regained control of Aleppo at the end of 2016. If you recall, the city has been targeted intermittently by an array of various terrorist outfits. The National Front for the Liberation of Syria is the main Turkish-backed militant alliance in the Idlib region. But the Takfiri Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, which is a coalition of different factions of various terror outfits, largely composed of Jabhat Fateh al-Sham, holds a large part of the province and the zone, which is now under siege. Foreign-backed militancy, supported largely by the United States, Israel, and many of its Western and regional allies, started this war, as you know now, going all the way back into 2011 when we started, guys, when we started Inside the Eye Live. The Syrian war broke out very, very shortly after that, after we started broadcasting live here. So it's still going. It's improving for the Syrian people for sure. but it is what it is. Telephone lines 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. You know, there's a another thing, you know, democracy. You talk about democracy, republic, you know, a republican system still, it has democratic elements. You know, you got to elect the republic. You have to elect the elected officials, in other words. It's not ruled by mob per se. But the point here is that organization. Organization means the ability for you to get some type of critical mass going. And it's very key to the political system. If we're not able to get any type of critical mass going, at least in some type of force, a show of force, it's very difficult for us to influence any direction anywhere. Well, every time we see critical mass showing against Jewish encroachment against other people's rights, the very first thing that Jews want to do is shut down these organizations. Now, there's something here. This is coming out of New Jersey. Now, you've probably heard some stories lately about the ongoing turf war between Orthodox Jews and some of the black communities inside of New Jersey. And really what's been happening here is that Orthodox Jews are coming in. They're buying up the city councils. They're buying pretty much whatever they can buy up. They're aggressively knocking on doors or saying, look, I got money for you. Get out of your house. Here's your money. They're basically demanding people leave their homes, take the cash and get out, basically. It's very arrogant. It's exceedingly in-your-face abuse by the Jewish community. And people are really getting pissed off against it. And the Simon Wiesenthal Center, which again is another one of these, who knows where they get their money from, how they get their money, why they get their money. But they've got offices in Los Angeles and New York. They are now condemning a Facebook group called Rise Up Ocean County. Why, you might ask? For allowing comments, like one comment last year. We need to get rid of them like Hitler did, in reference to the growing Orthodox community in Lakewood and surrounding towns. Now, you have to understand, this isn't an anti-Semitic issue. This has far more to do with pure social behavior. You know what I mean? This is really the case about anti-Semitism or anti-Jewish sentiments. It's not that you hate Jews. You can't stand the fact that Jews are just jackasses. That's the problem. It's a social issue. You can't legislate to the Jewish community that you guys behave in a civilized fashion. It's very difficult for us to legislate that you Jews actually have some sense of social relations out there that allow you to be getting along with everybody else. No, what Jews want to do is legislate us accepting their idiots, their idiocy. That's really what's going up. So criticism of this Rise Up group has been renewed now by the Jewish community because of, quote unquote, what Jews call hate. We have to understand every time a Jew uses the term hate, that group needs to be shut down. We have to view Jews as do as we say, not as we do. And if Jew says something about you, that applies to the Jew. We got to make a nice poem about that. Now, it's some comments are there in this 30,000 plus membership. Rise Up Ocean County's administrators have insisted the group is not anti-Semitic. See, that's the point. Jews want to tell us what we were supposed to think. Again, we have to make a concerted effort somewhere to push back and absolutely start to take away Jewish ability to speak. That's a key point here. Jews already tell us, you can't say this, you can't say that, you can't say this, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't. Well, why don't you Jews get the hell out of my business, man? How about we start there? How about you go back to your Israel where you can be a complete buffoon, push people around, be a jackass all you want. Nobody's going to care. But get out of our business. You want a country. You want a place that you can call your own to your own self-determination. Well, you know what, Mr. Jew? We want the same thing, man. We don't want to constantly hear you whining like a complete, total idiot 24/7. We're tired of it. Can't you get that? Or is that too complicated for your Jewish intelligence out there? Now, eventually, Jews complained, and guess what? That group, Rise Up Ocean County's Facebook page, was taken down. Then it got restored with some of its most extreme content removed. And the restoration prompted Governor Phil Murphy and State Attorney General Gerbil Gruel to write to Facebook this month demanding that the company make lasting reforms to stop the spread of hate on the internet. Well, go screw yourselves. Again, it's not a politician's business to tell us what we can and can't say. Why don't you deal with the fact that you're lying to us about the Jewish community here? Because people have a very legitimate concern with the behavior of Jewish people in this area. And if they want to talk about the absolute uncivilized, uncouth nature of the Orthodox community, they have that right. And you know what? We should take Governor Phil Murphy. He should be arrested for sedition. Who is he to tell people what we can and can't say? Same with the Attorney General, Gerbil Gruel. Who is this person to tell the people in New Jersey what you can and can't say? That's sedition, dude. It's sedition. It's time we start dealing with politicians in a way that treats them for what is really the issue. They are engaging in sedition against the American people. Now, Facebook is a Jewish-run operation. It says it doesn't tolerate what Jews don't like, a.k.a. it doesn't tolerate hate speech. Also, a.k.a. Facebook does not tolerate what Jews don't like. And it's, quote unquote, it's taken steps to rein in. Excuse me. You operate in the United States and you're going to tell us how we can talk? Do you get the issue here? We don't accept governments telling us. Why do we accept it from private companies, what we can and can't say? These companies should be smashed. Their assets completely stripped, broken apart. We don't care about the carnage anymore because they don't care about the carnage they cause to people. They don't care about the families who lose loved ones because of vaccines. They don't care about the carnage caused by some Jew killing somebody because they can in Israel because they block BDS type of stuff. And the Jews got more money to go buy bullets to go shoot people. They don't care about that. So again, you have to take this as a reality that Jews are playing a scorched earth zero-sum game against the West. They want everything obliterated into dust. They want to turn the West into this absolutely desolate ground where nothing's able to thrive anymore except for their bigotry and hatred towards you. Now, there's a guy out there called Cooper, Michael. I don't know who Cooper is, doesn't matter. But Cohen, that's kind of probably pertinent to the story here. He's going to be joined by a Reverend John Bambrick of St. Aloysius Church in Jackson, Lakewood Board of Education member Ada, and all of these people are going to be working with an Orthodox Jewish umbrella group. Isn't that nice? Now, in an announcement yesterday, actually Wednesday, the Wiesenthal Center said it's also... It would also criticize an opinion piece that had been published in the Star Ledger newspaper and on NJ.com. The center accused the piece of defending irresponsible behavior against the Jewish people. Again, screw you guys, man. I'm serious. People should just call the St. Wiesenthal and just say, screw you. You know what? We're tired of you constantly going after us. And it's time, actually, you're the problem. And why people need to fight back. Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Thank you. It's the Fetch, everybody. Inside the Eye Light Primetime. Back with more right after this. All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Light Primetime again. It's Thursday for you, anyways. Thursday is the 16th. Of January. It's already 8:30 in the morning here in Manila, not Manila, really. I'm close to Manila. It's not too far from Manila. I was there actually 2 days ago meeting with some people from the government there. Didn't get what I wanted, guys. It was kind of a disappointing trip. But nonetheless, I was working with people from the government this past week. Didn't quite work out as I was hoping, but hey, I made the trip. I made the effort. Put it that way. Okay, I made the effort. Give me some credit. But nonetheless, it's early Friday morning now, 17th. We'll be opening up the business here in a half hour, so I got to lock up everything quickly after the show. Now, I'm traveling. It's a getaway day for me Saturday, everybody. I'm going to be on a plane. I'm going to be landing Riyadh sometime in the evening, so I'm going to be unavailable for Saturday's show. I put feelers out there, had some rejected. Frederick, if you're available, you're usually my last go-to guy, and you're the most reliable, too. But if Frederick cannot do it, I've also asked Woody to kind of tag team or take the show. We've put feelers out there right now. So far, we've had no takers for the show, so if we can get somebody to fill in, if you can actually do radio, hey, you want to take this show? And we know you. Obviously, we got to trust you guys. But if we know you, hey, get in touch. I'll let you have it. We'll let you do Inside the Eye Live for 3 hours Saturday. How's that? That's a huge opportunity, actually. It's kind of good publicity. But nonetheless, that's the way it works, everyone. So if you'd like to hear Saturday, I'm not going to be here. I'll be on an airplane. I will not land till after showtime. So I cannot do Saturday's show. It's going to be nice, to be honest. I like the time from Riyadh. You know, I do it from 6 to 9. The show Saturday is 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern and then 2 to 4 in the morning. I don't like the 2 to 4 in the morning so much, but it's better than 7 to 9 in the morning, in my opinion. You just feel closer to Thursday than you do on a Friday. I feel like it's Friday. I'm thinking about today, and I'm trying to stay in touch with you guys, which is yesterday. It's a little bit of a challenge, but nonetheless, it is what it is. All right. Telephone lines, 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. We have some really good news. This is for people like Graham and Breiser and people in the UK, Ross. Ross, if you're listening, I've got your email. I just haven't had a chance to respond, but I've got your email. We want to say also, Patricia Aiken, I don't know if you're listening too. Thank you for the donation. I haven't emailed you yet, but I just want to say to Patricia, thank you very much for that. And again, we have a new project coming up, so every little bit is helping go towards that. Now we got some good news coming out of the UK. Finally, some good news. What it is that the number of UK pubs and bars actually increased for the first time in a decade during last year, according to the Office for National Statistics in the UK. Now, the total number rose by a mere 315 or 0.8% last year to 39,130, and that was driven largely more by food sales. Now, that actually halted a decline, and it had been declining. It looks like it's been declining since 2002. So that's like a, 17-year decline, something like that. So basically, most of these largely are fewer than 10 employees, believe it or not, in the UK. The smallest category, as you can imagine, would be pubs with 25 or more employees. But the next is 10 to 24. But the vast majority of these are 10 employees or less, you know, 10 employees, fewer than 10 employees. So, yeah, 15 years of closures. Hi Strickland, senior statistician at the ONS, said that while smaller pubs have been struggling to survive in recent years, bigger pubs have been growing in number. We'll have to wait to see if this marks a revival for smaller locals. So, very cool. Pubs are now employing more kitchen staff. A percentage of employees in the pubs and bar sectors is up 43.8%, believe it or not. That's actually pretty good. Where the bar staff, the drinking people, are down 28 point. Actually, I shouldn't say that. Let's do that again. Pubs now employ more kitchen staff. Percentage of employees in the pubs and bar sectors, 43.8% work in food service and 28.9% work in the bar side of things. And consequently, apparently you guys are drinking less and eating more. That might not be a great thing. Jobs in the pub industry have been going up quite consistently now since 2011. In fact, they've been largely climbing since it dipped at 2011, so that's great. A spokesman for the BBPA, whatever that is, said that association cautiously welcomed any good news for the pubs there. It also said it hoped that the upcoming budget would see further respite for pubs and bars, and policymakers have a great opportunity in the March budget to help pubs flourish by easing the significant tax pressures they face from beer duty and business rates. So there you have it. Maybe we can get out of the, what do you call it, get out of the internet and get back into the pubs and start networking that way. That might be a very, very smart idea. And all our best thoughts out to you guys. I'd love to go to a British pub, quite frankly. It'd be kind of cool, wouldn't it? Go hang out in a British pub. You know, last night I went out. It's my last night. Tonight's kind of like getaway night. So I got to pack and do stuff like that. So last night I took the staff out and I went to a karaoke bar. It's like, okay, we went looking. And so I plugged it into Google Maps and I said, karaoke. And I start looking. We found this really kind of place called LB Square, Los Baños Square. And it's essentially kind of a nice little area, a younger crowd. But then again, everything's younger when you're like my age. And just like pub after pub after pub and like a horseshoe shaped and like karaoke bars lining the place. So I went to this place and I went to three different places last night, kind of fun. And we settled on one. The food was actually very, very good. The microphone for the karaoke was like, you know, nothing to get excited about. The speakers were less, quite frankly. Those were like really terrible. But we just had a lot of fun last night, singing and no dancing, guys, just singing and eating. And they brought out this huge, man, I'm like, I felt cheated, man. I bought three beers. No, I bought six beers. No, how many beers did I buy? I bought five, six. I bought eight beers, guys. And I paid 440 pesos. That's like $10, less than $10, right? And they brought out this giant, I don't know how tall this thing was, maybe 3 feet tall by maybe 5 inches in diameter, maybe like this. And it was a mixed drink. They called it Sex on the Bar. That's what it was called. And it was just this massive pink thing. And they brought me a little bit to taste. It was delicious. And there's no way I could have drank that thing by myself. But for the same price, I could have had that. And I'm like, man, you guys cheated me. I could have just bought this thing and just served it instead of having all these beers on my table. And man, it was quite tasty. And I tell you, next time I come back, I'm going to maybe order one of those and just camp out all day. Just like drink all day, man, because it's tall. I'm serious. It's maybe 3 feet tall. Seriously, it was a massive thing. Really kind of cool. Never seen that before. I've seen things like it, but usually it's much smaller and mainly for beer, you know, just to dispense the beer at your table. But this thing was kind of cool looking. So I might order one of those next time. I told the girls that were with me, I said, bring your friends. These are family, by the way. I said, bring your friends and we'll go ahead and I'll buy one of those for your friends. We'll have fun. So it was kind of cool last night. I didn't get home till about 2 in the morning, something like, no, I got home earlier than that. I think I went to bed at 12. Here's the interesting thing about the Philippines too, guys. The problem with the Philippines, if you go back 20 years ago, and I was here 20 years ago, is they were drinking their society away. So they've done two things here, and it's very positive for their society. Number one is there's been an all-out assault on the international drug cartels. Now, when we talk about international drug cartels, we're really talking about the CIA. Everybody here in the know understands that it's the CIA who's controlling the drugs. It's not like they're trying to hide anything here. They understand it's the CIA. They get who their enemy is. Duterte has already said, hey, look, if the CIA wants to come here and try to replace me, try it. It's okay. Try it. In other words, he's already issued a little challenge to the CIA. Hey, you don't like our war on drugs? It's okay. you can try to replace me. And if you want to try to use the CIA to do it, okay, it's your right. You try. You know, this is the way it's played in the mafia world. You try. So they're not under any illusions, in other words, about who's behind the negative aspects. They're already, Duterte's on record of calling our ambassador, our meaning the American ambassador, nothing but a fat Jew faggot. Okay, literally, that's the term he used, a fat Jew faggot. Okay, and he's basically, that's accurate. Let's be honest, it's accurate. Now, it's not very political. It's not very, I shouldn't say, it's not very diplomatic, you know, to call an ambassador a fat Jew faggot. But nonetheless, that's Duterte. So they like the guy. Second issue is you would have karaoke, singing, and Filipinos love to sing. In fact, singing and talent is an export commodity here. So you have a lot of people, they grow up learning how to sing, how to dance, how to play guitar, how to do things, and they will provide the circuit, the entertainment circuit for cruise ships, for nightclubs, wherever you might need this level of entertainment. You will find a lot of Filipinos and Filipinas in this industry. That's an actual export commodity. So people sing all the time here. Karaoke is a common thing to have. And even I like to do my karaoke. I can't sing, but I like to do it, right? Now, what Duterte did is he made an executive order. Every karaoke bar has to close by 10 o'clock during the week. 10 o'clock. No singing after 10 o'clock. And that goes for your house, too. Because you can be in a residential area, and people, of course, when you're singing, you want to pump up the music, right? And so it would get so loud, people aren't sleeping. And the kids are suffering. They can't get enough sleep. They're not, you know, basically it's just too loud. So these are two issues. Number one, an executive order to actually close the night scene here closes at 10 o'clock. So consequently, going into the karaoke nightclub business would not be a good thing to do now because it's just not the same as before. You have to close at 10 o'clock. Now, if you've got a vibrant bar life here, in other words, if you've got a way to create a good bar drinking environment, yeah, you can stay open till 1 o'clock. But as far as the drinking and the karaoke singing, no, 10 o'clock is cutoff time. So I was basically singing last night, and they came in and said, you know, our captain, the barangay captain, is very strict here. Can you please, this is your last song. So, okay, we left at 10 o'clock. Now, how good is that, though? It forces me to get home early, right? So these are positive things that they're doing here in this part of the world. And that's what we look for everywhere. What are some of the positive things governments are doing for their people? And ask yourself, what are the positive things that your government is doing for you? I know one positive is, hey, they're trying to protect you. They're trying to take away guns everywhere. Isn't that great? Or they're trying to protect you by denying other people the right to even speak their minds because, oh, you might be harmed because what somebody might say. Doesn't it sound so stupid and childish? And that's basically where America has gone nowadays. It's become such a stupid, childish world. And why? Because Jews are running the show. That's all I can figure. If you got idiots running the show, you're going to have an idiotic government. And Jews are saying, you can't complain about us. This is anti-Semitic. Oh, please, you can't do that. We're Jews. You can't. Oh. Anyways, I'll tell you. You have to sometimes wonder who governments really work for, you know? Seriously, who do they really work for? Case in point. Where'd this story go? I just had it. Yeah, British Prime Minister Johnson. They call him Bojo, Boris Johnson. The very first thing Boris Johnson did when he came into office was to give Jews what they wanted, which was something about BDS. You know, we're going to stop BDS in its tracks, something like that. So essentially, Bojo works for Jews. So he's trying to make sure everybody's happy. So just the other day, yesterday, in fact, he makes a statement that he's vowing to, get this, stamp out the resurgence of anti-Semitism. Stamp out. Now, again, if you don't see and sense and smell the hatred that oozes from this, you're being naive. Stamp out means exactly that, guys. It means kill people if you have to. You can't stamp it out. Stamp it out means to extinguish things. And you don't extinguish things without what? Killing it. You got to stop being naive what Jews are saying here. Jews are saying we hate you. We can't stand you guys. We believe in our 6 million fairy tale. We've been indoctrinated into this since we were children. We believe you Christians are out to get us. You're going to get us again. So we got to do everything we can to prevent you from getting us again. And the reality of it is, and the stupid thing about the Jewish community is, they never had it so good in their lives. And they are pushing everybody to the envelope to make sure that Jews are indeed hated justifiably. Again, to say you're going to stamp out hatred is stupid. And to say you're going to stamp out justifiable hatred is even more idiotic. And that's where we're at nowadays. Jews want to stamp out what is justified. And Jews, the word justified kind of puts you in there, you know? You think you're so morally straight and proper, but, you know, crookified. I don't know. We'll have to come up with a thing to describe Jews because justified doesn't work. Anyways, Prime Minister Boris Johnson emphatically pledged, isn't that nice, on Wednesday to stamp out the resurgence of anti-Semitism. Well, Mr. Johnson, here's the thing. And hear us well. As populists, as nationalists, we have a right to our own self-determination. And the way you're using this term is you're basically putting Jews on a pedestal, saying they're beyond reproach. They are our masters. They are our superiors. And consequently, we're supposed to bow down to a culture of racist, hate-filled bigots, which is what the Jewish community is here. And let them dictate to our countries anything they want to dictate. And we're supposed to just sit down, shut up like little children, and take it. That, Mr. Johnson, is what you're saying here. That's the most arrogant, stupid thing a politician could ever say is, oh, I'm going to stamp out political legitimacy. Because, again, it's all in the language you use. Boris, you look like a smug moron. Why don't you just say, I'm going to stamp out any political legitimacy towards the Jewish people? Why don't you take your smug little look and just tell us the truth? You know, I'm tired of cloaking everything under a bullshit word called anti-Jewish, anti-Semitism. It's bull. You know, you can't get incensed enough about these clowns actually trying to push this garbage, and they're serious, guys. They'll arrest you for it. They'll destroy your career for it. They'll take away your right to even live for it. They are very deadly serious about stamping things out. And that means killing people if they have to. They did it in the Soviet Union. What do you think? They're not going to do it in your own country? Now, the prime minister replied here. Well, let me go back. Johnson was speaking during a prime minister's questions at the House of Commons, and he was asked by conservative MP Andrew Percy whether, in light of the approaching, get this, International Holocaust Remembrance Day, this is a fraud day because Jews must add to this the Holocaust. They're not really Holocaust. The only Holocaust, which means a burnt offering, is what Jews did to Dresden. Let's be honest, guys. That's the Holocaust. The Holocaust is Dresden. A burnt offering to their God. That is the Holocaust. A burnt offering was Dresden. Everything else is just a genocide, which is different from a burnt offering. So they don't even use our words properly, okay? In a very simple thing, Jews can't even use the English language with any sense of intelligence as the language is designed. They're either A, purposely stupid, consequently they can't use our language, or B, they're purposely deceptive, which means they're also stupid, I guess. But guys, see how that works? They're not even using our language correctly. You can't call 253, 276, whatever the number is, that died in work camps, labor camps, and are not even all Jews, as being, quote unquote, a Holocaust, which means burnt offering. What type of moron speaks like this? Seriously. And people should start asking Jews this. Holocaust means burnt offering. Where's the burnt offering? What? You guys are lying? You don't even know how to use my language? Why don't you go back to Israel, speak in your little guttural thing that you call Hebrew over there, and do what you want? But guys, you're not even qualified to even work in our countries. You can't even speak the language. You know, if they say English, you know, you English first. Well, Jews should be disqualified. They can't even speak English. This isn't English. Guys, you can't. That's not English. You understand that it's really happening here? The use of the term anti-Semitism, it's not even English. It's just made up bullshit. Okay? It's not English. They just made it up, threw it out there. Look, I can fart too and throw it out there, okay? Because that's basically where it came from. It's not English. And no matter how much they try to push it on you, hey, it's not English. They asked if Boris Johnson would, quote unquote, commit to more action to stamp out anti-Semitism and all intolerance in this country. What a stupid thing to say. What you're listen. If you're not discriminating, guys, see, what causes you to be tolerant or intolerant is your level of discrimination. If you're not discriminating, you have no refinement. You're basically an animal. You're an animal, guys. If you can't discriminate, you're an animal. It's basically Jews can't discriminate. Okay? They can't discriminate. They're not, I mean, from a classic sense of the word. Because they'll look at a piece of garbage on the wall and they'll call it art. And they'll look at a fine piece of art and they'll call it garbage. They don't even know the difference. They're stupid. That's discrimination. You must be discriminating. Jews want you to not be discriminating. They want you to basically be like some malleable jello that has no character. How are you going to, quote unquote, stamp out anti-Semitism? That's a made up bullshit word that has absolutely no meaning. It's not even English. Now, if you want to say, how do we stamp out legitimate political rejection of Jewish policies? Okay, then say it like that, because that's what you mean. That is what you mean. Don't use a bullshit I've been saying that word a lot today. I got to stop doing that. But nonetheless, don't use some made up word that's not even English, really. It's not. It's just fabricated BS, man. The prime minister replied, "We are in the government and in the House, meaning Jews, I think across the House, wanting to do absolutely everything we can to stamp out the resurgence of anti-Semitism." But what does that mean? It means stamping out legitimate, I lost my train of thought here. It's basically removing legitimate protest against Jewish politics is what it means. That's what it means. What do you mean? He goes on, as someone who's now 55 years old. Oh, you're not even old yet, dude. I find it absolutely incredible that in the 21st century, we have anti-Semitism. Dude, if you're 55 years old, you should be old enough and smart enough to understand why a stupid made up word doesn't make any sense and why there's a legitimate protest against Jewish policies, which you call this stupid made up word. Okay? You're 55. How about you get out of government then if you're that stupid? Seriously, if you're going to make this statement, what you're saying is you're too stupid to be in politics. It's not that complicated. I find it absolutely incredible that in the 21st century we have anti-Semitism. Well, if you find it incredible, you're too stupid for politics. Get out. Then he goes on, it's a disgrace. What's a disgrace? That you're too stupid to even understand basic English? Really? You don't understand what's happening here? That Jews in every single sector are trying to stamp out everything, which means what? They're an opposing tyrannical force in our countries. It's that simple. What, we're supposed to stamp out legitimate protests against tyranny? Are you guys out of your mind? Think about it. These people are out of their minds. On Tuesday, another statement rejecting anti-Semitism. Again, what does that even mean? You can't criticize little whiny Jew? Tell me what that means. I don't know what it means anymore. Because it's used everywhere to basically say, thou shall not complain against whiny Jews. Seriously, it's so stupid. We have digressed to the level of children when it comes to discourse. This level is straight out of a bunch of five-year-old idiotic morons trying to sound important. Because they're not. This is not adult language, guys. This is garbage from a childish community. It's garbage. Seriously. Now, we've got a guy, he's called Lord John Mann. He's a former Labor MP, and he's outspoken against, quote-unquote, anti-Semitism. What the heck is that? We're out of time. All right, guys. See you next...